Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Centerpoint Church. My name is Pastor Dwayne. So good to worship together this morning. This is a great day for us. Faith Promise happens once a year, and as a part of our Faith Promise celebration, we traditionally get to hear from somebody who is either currently on the field or has an experience or experienced the mission field in a very real way. And so you stumbled into Centerpoint on a great day as we celebrate and get to hear what God's doing all around the world. But also, ultimately, we're moving towards this idea of responding to what God is doing around the world and wanting to participate in that. When you came in this morning as a part of your worship folder, you should have received a Faith Promise pledge card. And we get to hear from Josh Williams this morning. And following that, we're going to ultimately submit a challenge for us as a congregation to be able to respond for world missions. And we have a goal today of $60,000. Centerpoint has a rich history of supporting missions both locally and globally. And we want to continue to just be available for God to work through us however he sees fit. Well, I'm not lying when I say that I could not be more excited about our guest speaker today. Josh and Brandy are with us from the Boise, Idaho area. And Josh and I had the opportunity to serve together what seems like a lifetime ago now. And Josh was a children's pastor at the same church where I was a youth pastor. And we were able to serve alongside one another before God called him to the mission field. And it's been cool to be able to follow how God has been at work in his life. But quite honestly, could not have imagined the ways God would be shaping him and how his life would unfold as he was obedient to God's call. And so I want to tell you a quick story. But before I do, put your hands together to show your love for Josh Williams.
All right. I'm nervous now. What are you going to tell?
Yeah, this is totally unscripted.
Unscripted. Bring it on.
His number one strength is adaptability. So regardless of what I hit him with right now, he's cool with
good.
It. Yeah. I have two things, actually. And some folks will appreciate this and others, they won't like it at all. But at this particular church where we served together, it was a church where you didn't just roll in wearing anything, you know? I mean, you had to be careful what you had on. One day, I'd only been there for a few weeks, and one day I walked out of the office to head up to the worship center, and Josh was coming behind me. He goes, "Oh, Dwayne, your shirt tail's out." And I just simply said, "Yeah, I know."
I don't remember that at all.
You thought I'd made a mistake and like my shirt tail was out by accident, and you were watching out for
I was totally watching your back.
For the young
I got
youth
your back.
Pastor. Well, in a very real way, I remember very specifically the first time that I was to ever preach at this particular church on a Sunday morning. And in fact, it was Marley and I had just gotten married. It was our first assignment in the Nazarene church. And so the idea of preaching there that Sunday morning was pretty nerve-wracking to me. I was nervous. I didn't know what was going to happen. I think I'd stayed up all night the night before finishing this sermon, you know. So I'm on the verge of sleep. And I was sitting at my desk in my office. My door was open. And this guy right here appeared. And he didn't say good morning. He didn't say hi. He simply popped in the door of my office. And he pronounced a blessing over me. He extended his hand. He pronounced a blessing. And I could tell you something supernatural happened in that moment. Where I felt the Holy Spirit just come over me and calm those fears, calm those nerves, and I was able to go forward in the power of the Spirit and proclaim the word that day. And that said something to me about the Holy Spirit at work in your own life. And so I'm excited for us as a church to be able to hear from you today. Brandy, thank you so much for being here, for traveling, supporting this guy. Put your hands together, show your love for Brandy this morning. And with that, I just want to pray for my brother, and we're going to turn things over to him. God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the gift of life and the chance to be together this morning. Lord, we pray for our friends, Josh and Brandy, and we lift them up. God, the ministry that you have laid out before them, the lives that they are touching and transforming, Lord, we don't take for granted, and we know that we'll probably never even see those lives on this side of heaven. So bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, guide and protect their family, Lord. Watch over them in the ways they need it most. And Lord, I pray that now as Josh comes and brings the word to us, that truly this word will get into us and it will ignite us, Lord, for a new way of seeing you and the mission that you want for the world around us. So, Lord, teach us, show us today our place in the world of missions, and help us as a church to be able to respond very faithfully. So we give this time to you now. We love you and pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen. 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 Thank you, Dwayne. I do remember that day. I remember that day very clearly. I love seeing how God has worked in and through you guys over the years. I've been stalking you on Facebook for a long time. I love this guy. Good, good. You guys got a good pastor. I'm a little jealous right at the moment. A little jealous. Well, my brothers and my sisters, it is good to be here today with family. It is amazing to me, seriously amazing. We get on a plane, we go across the country, halfway around the world, and you know what we find? More family, brothers and sisters in Christ together, connected at the heart by our Father who's here with us today. So thank you for your hospitality today. Thank you for how you've loved us. Now I'm going to talk for the next 3 hours, right, Dwayne? That's my goal. Or less. But if you remember nothing else that I say today, I want you to remember these two things. First, I want to say thank you. Thank you from all the missionaries all around the world that are doing all this work. I want to say thank you. Because you guys have been praying for us. And as a missionary who's been on the field and known the struggle, there are times that things were hard. But knowing that you were praying for us made all the difference. God answered your prayers. Thank you for how you have been going. Who all has been on a work and witness trip? Thank you for using your gifts to go and make a difference around the world. And thank you all for giving. This is Faith Promise Sunday. We're going to talk about giving a little bit. Thank you for that. Through your gifts, God is working in this world and changing lives. So thank you. That's the first thing. Second thing is this. Never forget this. God is at work in the world. Sometimes we turn on the TV, we open the internet, we open the newspaper, and it seems like it's bad news all the time. But I want to tell you, God is at work in the world, changing lives, changing hearts, doing amazing things, bringing more and more and more people into this family of ours. So remember those two things. Thank you, and God is at work in the world. Now, my name, as Dwayne said, is Josh Williams, and you may not believe it right at this minute as I'm trying to get this thing opened here, but my job is actually Global Mission IT. I'm a nerd missionary. I get to use my nerd skills for the kingdom. Now, can I open my iPad to see the notes? I don't know yet. But I get to use these skills that God has given me for the kingdom, and I love it. Now, I'm not alone on this journey. My wife, Brandy, is with me. Go ahead and show us the picture of the rest of the herd. So this is our crew. We have Jesse, who's 19. We have Haley, Kaylin, Logan, and Hannah. Hannah's 12. And we get to journey life together. I love these guys. And as you can see, we raise them tall in our house. I'm 6'2", Jesse's 6'5". Logan has had a growth spurt since this picture was taken. He is over 6 foot now. Haley's 6 feet. We're a big crew. We're a tall people. But God loves tall people too. So go ahead and show us the next one. We have very unique jobs in the church. Yes, I do ICT stuff. We get to provide video conference, email, web services, all sorts of stuff for our missionaries and staffs and schools around the world. And I love it. I love the nerdy stuff because those are the gifts that God has given me. It makes my nerd senses all tingly sometimes. But another big piece of my job is that when I go out to speak at places like Faith Promise Sundays, things like that, I'm always on the lookout for people who want to use their skills on the mission field. And I help connect them. Connecting people, it makes me all tingly. I love it when people get to use their skills and God gets to work in and through those skills to reach the world. So I was asked by African Nazarene University, which is in Kenya, to put together a tech team. Some people call us the Nazarene Nerd Herd. They asked me to put together a team to come to the university and help them with some tech stuff. And we had the privilege of being there this last March. Now, African Nazarene University is in the country of Kenya, and you can see on the map where Kenya is located. That's the Kenyan flag. Kenya is an amazing country. Long history. What's the number? I believe they have 49 official languages that they work in, but they also speak English and Swahili. And so just culturally, it's an absolutely beautiful country. Go ahead and go to the next one. While we were there, we got to see some very interesting creatures, some beautiful animals. It was interesting. While we were still in the airport, we had to stop because a herd of zebras, crossed the road. I was like, well, that's interesting. You don't see that every day. And while we were driving from the airport out, we saw ostriches, a kudu, some impala, some other things. It was amazing, but I imagine if they came here and saw deer, they would be as amazed as we were there. It was just totally normal for our Kenyan brothers and sisters to see all this stuff. So while we were there, we did get to go to the orphaned elephant park. If a mom elephant is hunted by poachers or has an accident or something, they bring the orphans here to this park and they feed them and we got to pet them. Ladies, would you like to pet an elephant someday? You'd like that? They're really rough, really dirty, and kind of stinky, but they're really cute, aren't they? Absolutely adorable. We also got to go to a place called the Giraffe Center. We're tall in our family, so we like the giraffes a lot. This one decided to photobomb our selfie. Love that. While we were there, though, Brandy, my wife that I love deeply with all my heart, decided that it was time to do something. Will you show us that little video? She did that like 6 times. One of the times that I didn't get on film, the tongue was from this side of her face all the way across. They're like strings connected to that. And I'm thinking, I love you, but we ain't kissing for a while. Yeah, it was amazing. Amazing, amazing. Go ahead and show us the next slide. So again, we were at African Nazarene University to help with the tech project, and this was essential to what they're doing. In Kenya, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, there was a terror attack on another university campus, and the Kenyan Government Education Department, called the CUBE, required that every university in Kenya install security equipment to protect their students. If you're going to be a university in this country, you got to install security equipment. So they contacted me, and I put together a couple tech teams, and we got to go there and help them install security cameras and some other security equipment to keep their students safe. Now this is the main campus in Ngarangai, beautiful campus. And it's so spread out that installing security cameras was kind of a pain, but it was so much fun to use our gifts there. Go ahead and show us the next one. Now, we also worked at their town campus, which is in a high-rise building downtown. And they own the top 8 floors of that, and they use that for their town campus. They have about 4,000 students in their system. And their vision and motto are very moving to me. The vision of African Nazarene University is to be a community which produces individuals of character and integrity of heart, and a place where lives will be transformed for service and leadership in Africa and the world. Their motto, if you go to their website, is, "What begins here transforms the world." And they take that seriously, incredibly seriously. People from African Nazarene University have been sent out all over Africa, leadership in Kenya. So we have some graduates in the government of Kenya. We have leaders of NGOs that are African Nazarene University grads. There is a CNN broadcaster that is an African Nazarene University grad. They are sending people all over the world making a difference. And again, I love it. What begins here transforms the world. And so our job coming in to protect the students so that they can study, so that they can be discipled, so that they can be mentored, all of those things are very, very important and core to who they are because they need to be able to educate these students and send them out. Now, they have the main campus, they have the town campus, and internet is very expensive there. So they had a connection between the two campuses, a dedicated connection, that was costing them $600 a month. And so when they knew we were coming in to do the camera project, they said, is there anything you can do to help us get our campuses connected and save us this this money? And we did some research, and we found the right thing. And then I had to climb this tower four times, 100 feet up in the air. So I was up there four times. We had another couple people in order to try to get it aimed and get the campuses connected. It doesn't look that high there. It was high there. Go ahead and show us the next one. This is Merlin. He's 70, and Gabrielle is 19. And they also needed to go up the tower and make some fine-tuning adjustments, and they decided to selfie at 100 feet in the air. It was kind of awesome. Show us the next one. This is a picture from up in the tower. Go to the next one. And this was, we were downtown. This team was incredibly international, and I loved it. So we had people from Idaho, Kansas, New Hampshire, Nashville, and OG is from Swaziland. So it was this group that came together to help do all this installation. And we were 8.5 miles apart between these two campuses. And so we were really guessing to try to aim these things to get the initial connection. So OG's up there just trying to aim this thing by hand, and he got the signal from there. 8.5 miles away, he pinpointed this thing by hand. We then installed the mast, and he got it connected. Amazing, amazing work. Go ahead and go to the next one if you would. Go back to the last one. I'm not ready for that yet. Now, when I think about Africa Nazarene University and their amazing mission that they're doing, I am a little overwhelmed at all the different skill sets it takes to make this happen. In order for them to disciple, mentor, and train students, it takes people using their accounting skills for the kingdom. It takes teachers using their education skills for the kingdom. It takes IT people. It takes ground maintenance people. It takes drivers. It takes all of these skills working together to make it happen. This may sound a little odd, but I wholeheartedly believe that whatever your job skills, whatever your hobbies are, whatever you're passionate about, these are gifts from God. And He wants to work in us and through us to reach the world. Whatever your skills are, whether it's accounting, whether it's IT, these are gifts from God, and we are being sent out. Now, in Global Mission IT, one of the verses that I love to use is in 1 Peter. Go ahead and show us that. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, starting with verse 8. It says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Each of you should use whatever gifts you have received to serve others. Whatever your gifts. Now, I've recruited teams to go on projects all over the world. And I remember one time I was recruiting for a project we had in Argentina. I was at a service, and after the service, a guy came up to me. His name was Dale. And Dale said, I think that God is calling me to go with you. I said, great. He said, well, there's a problem. My background, I'm okay with computer stuff, but I'm really an electrician. Do you think you could use an electrician on your project in Argentina? I said, if you feel that God is calling you to go, then let's go. So we got the team together. We flew to Argentina. And when we got to the seminary, the president of the seminary, Jorge, walked out and greeted us. And then he gave us a tour of the seminary grounds. As we're walking around the seminary grounds, I think I might even have a picture of this. I can't remember if I do or not. What's the next one? Nope. Go back. Sorry. I did not put a picture. Nope, the other way. That's the one. As we were walking around, sticking up right out of the floor was a wire, an Ethernet cable, an internet cable, sticking right up out of the floor. And I thought, that's odd. I wonder where it goes. And as we're walking around, he's giving us more of a tour. Sticking out of the walls are more wires, just bare wires sticking out of the wall. And as we keep going, I keep seeing these cables sticking out. And so I said, Jorge, where are the plans to the seminary? And he said, what plans? And I said, you know, the plans to show where all these wires go. And he said, there are no plans. And I said, really? Huh. And I started to panic just a little bit because we had a week to do a project and it did not include the time to rewire this whole seminary. And so I'm getting a little nervous and we keep going on around the tour and there are still more wires sticking out of the wall, sticking out of the floor. We get into the library to finish up the tour and Jorge leads us back around to the back of the library behind the last row of books. And there's a whiteboard leaning against the wall there. Jorge moves the whiteboard out of the way, and out of the wall pours this pile of cable. It looks like spaghetti pouring out of the wall into this heap. And I'm standing there thinking, great Scott. As I'm standing there panicking a little, Dale pushed me out of the way, stepped up, smiled clear across his face, and he said, this is why I'm here. I got this, you guys go get that. And he reached into his bag, pulled out his tone tool, found out where every wire in this entire place went, hooked it all up to the switch, all up to the patch panel. And today, seminary students are doing online research, taking online classes, taking video conference classes, all because Dale used his gift of wiring for the kingdom. Now, I want to say, whatever your skills are, whatever your hobbies are, whatever you're passionate about, these are gifts from God. And he wants to work in us and through us to reach the world. Now, oh, what time do we finish? Three? All right, are we okay? All right, I'm going to add a little story here. Because this is just like a little nerdy and a little awesome. So, as I said, one of the services we offer is video conference. And in the last three general assemblies, we got to use our video conference equipment for the kingdom, and it's really kind of fun. So for those of you that don't have a Nazarene background, every 4 years, leaders from all over the world come into this thing called the General Assembly, and they have worship services and training, and there's voting and all sorts of stuff that goes on. This last time, there were over 40,000 people there from all over the world. Really fun family event. We, as the Global Mission IT team, was asked to bring in 8 remote sites by video conference to participate in the youth events. So we had youth all over the world that could not come to these youth events, the youth NYI General Assembly meetings. But so we decided to connect them by video conference. We had a group in Manila, Hyderabad, India, Manchester, England, Haiti, Guatemala City, Trinidad, and Pilar, Argentina. We had all these sites. We sent out the equipment ahead of time. We got it all tested, got them all connected, make sure it was all going to work. And finally, when General Assembly arrived, we walked in, set up our equipment in Indianapolis, which was where the event was happening. We got everybody connected, and we got it all tested, and it was working amazingly. It was working so well that they were actually able to have worship led from other places. The first morning of the event, worship was led by a band in South Africa. They played, and it came through the system, and around the world, we worshiped together. We had translators in place as coming through the system. We had the words translated, all going through the system, so that people were able to hear, listen, and respond in their own languages. It was like language didn't matter, nationality didn't matter. We were there worshiping our Father together, and it was beautiful. Now, at the end of the conference, it was a 3-day think 3-day conference. At the end of the conference, they wanted to do communion together, communion around the world. So they distributed the elements. Every place distributed all the elements. Thousands of people all around the world, all connected in. And the leader picked up the bread, and he said, "This is the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, broken for you. Take it and eat." And all around the world, they took it together and they ate it. And then the leader picked up the cup and he said, "This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you. Take it and drink." And all around the world, they took it and they drank it together. In response to this, the group in Haiti stood up and began to praise. And they began to sing. They began to dance. And as the other side saw what was going on in Haiti, they too began to stand up. They began to sing. They began to pray. They began to praise together. Even India, normally very reserved, they're standing hands in the air, praising God. It was like watching the Spirit move around the world. Language didn't matter. Nationality didn't matter. None of that mattered. It was brothers and sisters in Christ worshiping our Father together. It was like this little taste of heaven. And it all worked because some people used their nerdy skills for the kingdom. It makes my nerd senses all tingly still just thinking about it. It's a little shivery. Again, what I want to say is God is calling. And he wants to work in us and through us to reach the world. Now, I know in a group this size, there are people saying, "Yeah, you don't know me. You don't know me. I don't have any skills we can use. I am so broken. There's no way that God could use me." Let me tell you today, that is a lie. God is calling. And he wants to work in us and through us, through our skills, through our history, even through our scars, to reach this world. I want to show you a picture again. Show me this next one. So, Jesse is 19, Haley's 16, Kaylin's 16, Logan is 14, and Hannah is 12. And you say, "You guys have twins, right?" No. And yes. And you say, "Well, that's a little weird." Haley's birthday is in December, and Kaylin's birthday is in November. They are stepsisters and best buds. That is another miracle from God right there. They are best buds and stepsisters. So we are a blended family, which means that both Brandon and I have been through the horrible hideousness of divorce. Logan, however, has a twin brother, Luke. And after Brandy and I had been married for a couple of months, Luke passed away. He'd been through a 5-year battle with cancer. So when you look at us, you see, "Oh, they're the missionaries. They got it all together. Just look at them." We come with this set of scars, deep scars. But let me tell you, my brothers and my sisters, God has brought healing. And now through these scars, God is working, allowing us to have conversations, to get into people's lives that we would never have been able to get into before. God is working through our scars in ways I never expected. I have learned more about grace and God's love through this last 7 years of my life than 12 years of college theological training and seminary training were able to give me. God has healed us and is now working through us because we say yes. Show us the next picture, if you would. We had some family pictures taken. These are a little bit older, but there's Logan, and he's got a picture of his brother Luke there. Oh. God is at work in the world. God is bringing healing, and he's doing it through normal folks like you and me. History, scars, and all. I want to introduce you to another couple. Go ahead and go to the next one. This is Luis and Karina Tasile. I got to work with them in Argentina just, 4 years ago? 3 years ago? 3 or 4 years ago. And I met them when they were seminary students. And you look at them and you say, wow, they're a little old for seminary students. They certainly are. They took the long way through life. Luis, his background is in construction. He was a contractor, very good contractor. He can do tile work, roofing, plumbing, electrical, concrete work. He can do it all. Very, very amazing. Karina, her background is in counseling. She loves counseling. She has some training in that. But when they got married, Luis also had an addiction problem, both to drugs and alcohol. And after several years of marriage, Luis completely spun out. The addiction took its toll on him and Karina. And Luis ended up in rehab. While he was in rehab, God got a hold of this guy and turned his life inside out and upside down, radically saved him, and gave him a passion to reach others. And Karina, as she saw what God was doing in Luis's life, God also got a hold of her, radically saved her, radically transformed her. And in that process, God called them into ministry. So they went to the seminary to learn how to be in ministry. Now, in the South American educational system, South and Central America, in the Nazarene Church, every seminary student is required to be a part of a church plant. And Luis and Karina were assigned to the town of Tigre in Argentina. And we got to go with them to go visit this church plant. Now, we've seen a lot of places, been to a lot of places. This was pretty shocking. As we pulled into this neighborhood with Luis and Karina, we noticed a lot of kids on the corner, teenagers. It looked like gang activity was going on. And so my safety and security meters were all pegging out here. I was getting a little nervous coming into this neighborhood. The roads were completely rutted out. Buildings were falling down, cars up on blocks. And it was a mess. I will say that. It was a mess. Well, the church plant was happening in a carport that was next to a garage. And that's where they would meet every Saturday and Sunday. And so we pulled up in front of the carport, walked in through the little gate there. And there I met a grandma in the community. She was part of the church. And so I said, tell me a little bit about this town. What's going on here? Well, she said the year before, the entire neighborhood had been underwater. The river had flooded, completely flooded this area, polluted the ground, drinking water. In fact, the city had to bring in fresh drinking water in these big blue barrels twice a month, or they wouldn't have enough to drink. She said that there's gang activity. She said that there's other problems in the neighborhood. But the thing that she said that really got me was this. She said that this neighborhood was basically run by a cult. And the dominant act of worship in this cult is sexual activity. And so the neighborhood is populated by young single moms with 7, 8, 9, 10 kids, all from different dads, all coming out of this cult. Now, as she described this to me, I was a little overwhelmed. You have to know, I'm an idea guy. High adaptability, high ideation. And so everywhere I'm at, no matter what's going on, I got 4 or 5 different ways that we can deal with it. That's just the way my brain works. But as she described the problems in this neighborhood to me, I had no ideas. I was stuck. But you know what? God did not call me into this neighborhood. God called Luis and Karina Tasile. And when they look at this neighborhood, they don't see problems. They see potential. You have to know, when we pulled into that neighborhood and the kids saw who was driving the car, when they saw it was Luis, they came running. They were shouting out, Papa Luis, Papa Luis. He is the only stable guy in this entire neighborhood, and he has become the dad for all of these kids. These teenagers that have drug problems, when Luis looks at them, he knows what it's like to be trapped in that, and he knows what it takes to be free. He is mentoring and discipling these kids. He's teaching them a trade, teaching them how to lay tile. He's teaching them how to put stucco on walls. He is mentoring and investing in these kids, and it is shaping, changing the shape of this neighborhood. Karina, when she sees these young moms who have been so hurt, so abused, she knows exactly what to say. She's been prepped to know what to say. And so God is at work in this neighborhood through this couple in ways that are amazing to me. He's working through their history. He's working through their skills. He's working through their scars to reach them in ways that I never could. Now, when I look at Luis and Karina Tasile, I have them way up here on a pedestal. They are superstars in my book. But when I put the rational piece of my brain in and I look at them, I realize that they are not unique. Each of us have a unique skill set, unique background, even unique scars that God wants to work in and through to reach the world. And we are being sent. We are being sent. Some of us are being sent overseas, but all of us are being sent outside these doors, across the street, across the apartment complex, because there are people out there that God loves. And you may think, what do I have? How can I? You have been prepared by God. You have access to people in your lives that I will never, ever have access to. And we are being sent, my brothers and my sisters. We're not sent empty-handed. We are being sent out with these skills, with these histories, and even with this scar. So my brothers and my sisters, let's go. Now today is Faith Promise Sunday. And Faith Promise Sunday is where we think about what God is calling us to give throughout the year. And Pastor Dwayne, I'm sure, is going to describe that a little more. As you think, as you pray about this, I would like you this morning to listen to the Spirit. Allow the Spirit to guide you as you prep that information there. Because each of us is being called to pray, to give, and to go. Again, I want to remind us back to the first few things. First, thank you for how you've already been giving. Thank you for how you've already been going. And thank you for how you've already been praying. But I want to encourage you once more to remember, God is at work in this world. And he wants to work in and through each and every one of us to reach this world. Because God so loves this world that he sent his son. And his son is now sending us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this beautiful family. Thank you for your precious Spirit here in this place. Thank you for how you love us. Thank you for adopting us into this family. And Lord, today I pray that you would guide us. Guide our hands and our feet. Guide our hearts, guide our minds, guide our mouths. Help us to see the people around us like you do. Help us to love them like you do. Thank you again, Lord, for your work in us and through us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.